Blog Talk Radio.
I know the Bible is right.
It's The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, coming to you live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Pastor Williams believes if you have a question, the Bible has the answers. Join us Wednesday on the show or at I Am Jesus Holy Ghost Church in Columbia, South Carolina, where service times are Tuesday night prayer at 7 p.m., Sabbath Friday service at 7 p.m., and Saturday Sabbath Day service at 12 noon. Our motto is, it pays to serve God. Hit us up at IamJesusHolyGhostChurch.org. That's Pastor Aaron B. Williams, live on Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Come on and get the Word of God at its highest level.
Well, the Bible is right. The Bible is right. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we know that the Bible is right, and we thank the Lord for Jesus for it. Amen. Glory to God. We thank God for the word tonight. Glory to God. And we're in Proverbs. 1922. And in the King James Version, Proverbs 19:22 says, the desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. A poor man is better than a liar. Another version brings out that a poor man is better than a dishonest man. And a poor man is better than a liar because the Bible says, we find out in the Bible, that God hates liars. The Bible in Proverbs, it says that six things are an abomination to the Lord, yea, seven. And twice in that list of things that the Lord hates and is abomination to him is liars, false witnesses. A false witness is a liar, and people who are liars. Amen? Glory to God. And one of the weapons, one of God's weapons, is truth. Amen? Glory to God. Why? Because in another place in the Bible, it says that there's nothing that can be done against the truth. Amen? Glory to God. A quick example. You're listening to me tonight. Amen? Do you realize that for eternity future, it could be 100 billion light years from now, the fact will still remain that it could be written on the book somewhere in heaven that you were listening to the program tonight. There's nothing that can be done against the truth. There's nothing can be done against the truth. I mean, people can try to squash it. They can do all kinds of things. And although people will go along with a lie for a while just to get along, eventually the truth comes out. So much so, beloved, that Jesus said in the New Testament, he said there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. So what that means? That means that there's no such thing as a secret. Oh, but Pastor, there's top secrets. The government got top secrets. Yeah, after about, 90 years, 100 years, the most top secrets come out. Some come out after 10 years. Some come out after 20 years. Some come out after 50 years. Some come out after 100 years. But Jesus said that there's nothing hidden that won't come out. Therefore, that means there's no such thing as a secret. Isn't it wonderful? We as children of God, we walk in the light and do uprightness. Amen? And the children of darkness, they think they're actually getting away with something. They're going to hide something or do something in secret and no one's going to know. See, they don't have the revelation that Jesus gave us, that there's no such thing as a secret, that eventually everything comes abroad. Eventually everything comes out. Amen? So glory to God. When you do something, eventually it's going to come out. But see, we're protected from that because we're taught to walk uprightly, so we have nothing to fear. 20 years from now, it'll be recorded. We were doing the right thing. Amen? Glory to God. And the truth works in our favor. Glory to God. But for the unsaved, they're told, oh, be sneaky. You can get away with this. You can do this, and nobody will know. No, Jesus gives the revelation. Yeah, eventually someone will know. Amen? Someone will know. Heaven will know. God will know. The angels will know. And eventually men will know. Amen? Glory to God. And that's another reason amongst the other millions of other reasons. That's another reason why God tells us to walk in truth, to be honest, not to lie. Why? Because he knows if you lie, it's going to come out, and it's going to soil your reputation. And see, because people think, look at this, brothers and sisters. People think, I'll tell this lie to get over. I'll tell this lie. This will help me to stay out of trouble. Lie will actually, from the Bible, we have the wisdom of the Bible, a lie will actually get you in trouble. It gets you in trouble with God, and then it gets you in trouble with men when they find out. Amen? But the enemy of people's soul tell people, tell a lie. They won't know. Oh, yeah, they're going to find out. Eventually, if it doesn't come out in the wash, it'll come out in the rinse. Amen? Glory to God. And so the Bible here says in Proverbs 19:22 that a poor man is better than a liar. It's better to be poor. Amen? Maybe you're not rich, and maybe you're not money rich. Maybe you're not money rich. But you're better than a liar because, as I said earlier, God hates liars. And the Bible says unsaved, all liars will go into the lake. Amen? Glory to God. You thank God. God has delivered us. Amen? When we got saved, when we got born again, glory to God. God saved us and delivered us. Amen? And then the first part of 19:22 says, the desire of a man is his kindness. What that means? Beloved, the quality, one of the qualities that endears a man to you is kindness. One of the things that you can pick up on right away when you meet somebody and you just sense the person. There's something about the quality of kindness that you pick up on. You can pick up on a person who's gentle. I can pick up on on animals if they're gentle or if they're mean-spirited. Amen? Haven't you ever seen a kind, sweet dog? When they look at you with those moony eyes, you just know this is a kind animal. There's something, you just pick it up. And it's the same thing with human beings. Amen? You can pick up a kind, there's just something about their bearing, something about the tone of their voice, something about the way they phrase things, something about their demeanor that just lets you know for just a few minutes of interacting with them, you pick up that this is a kind, gentle person. Amen? Glory to God. And so I thought tonight we would look at kindness. We would look at kindness. Amen? Glory to God. And I want to start in Nehemiah, I want to look at biblically at kindness, amen? And so I want to go to Nehemiah. Let's go to Nehemiah 9:7. Nehemiah 9:7. Glory to God. Nehemiah 9, and we're going to go from 7 to 17. Ooh, boy, a lot of reading. Nehemiah 9:7 says in the King James Version, thou art the Lord God who didst choose Abram and brought him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees and gave him the name of Abraham and foundest his heart faithful before thee and madest a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites and the Girgashites to give it, I say, to his seed, and has performed thy words, for thou art righteous, and didst see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heardest their cry by the Red Sea. Now we're reading all this in the context of kindness, look at the kind things that God did. He chose Abraham and brought him forth. He gave Abraham and his seed the land from other people that were not pleasing in God's eyes. And then in verse 9 it says that God didn't see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt and heard their cry by the Red Sea and showed his signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and all his servants and on all the people of his land. For thou knewest that they dealt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name as it is this day. And thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on dry land. How sweet of God. How kind of God. He could have had them go through the Red Sea in ankle-deep water, and they would have still got across, and they would have been still satisfied and still delivered and still saved from Pharaoh and his host. But God is so kind that he dried. It wasn't enough to open up the Red Sea. That was a miracle right there. It wasn't enough to cause water to congeal and stand up on either side. That was a wonderful miracle too. But then he did another miracle. He dried out the ground. Do you know what land underneath the ocean? That land could be 3, 4, 5 feet deep of mud. The land underneath the ocean, a good 3, 4, 5, 6 feet of it is mud. God dried up that land because he wouldn't suffer his precious people to walk across on muddy ground. He fixed it so that they could walk across on dry ground. Just an expression of his kindness toward his people. Glory to God. And so he says, a sea on dry land, and their persecutors thou threwest into the depths as a stone into the mighty waters. Verse 12. Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloud, a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way that wherein they should go. Another expression of God's kindness. He gave them a pillar of cloud by day so that they could see it and know that he was leading them. And any time their heart tremored, they could simply look and see the pillar of cloud and know, oh, we're going the right way. We're following where God wants us to go. We see it going in that direction. So we know we're going in the right direction. And then at night, what did God do? He caused a pillar of fire so that they could see a pillar of fire at night so they would know where they were going. Amen? Wasn't that kind? You know, God is a good God. God is talking about kindness. My goodness. Verse 13, thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai and speakest with them from heaven and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. God's kindness toward his people. In other words, he gave them these words, judgments, laws, statutes, and commandments. In other words, he gave his people his word. Amen? He gave them the law and the statutes. Now, why did he do that? Because he knew they just came out of slavery. And they didn't know anything about spiritual things. And they didn't know the things that would destroy human beings. But God knew all about the things that would destroy human beings because he made us. Amen? And so to keep his people safe from landmines, he showed them what not to do. He said, now, don't lie, because, see, you'll reap what you sow. If you lie and deceive and trick people, it'll come back on you. And thou shalt not murder. Why? Because I require, if anyone murders anybody, that is required at my hand, their blood. And I'll have to judge you. Amen? And so he gave them things that would keep them out of trouble so that his people would be strong people and that he could prosper them because they were living right. So he gave them the secrets to how to live. I'm up against a commercial. Hold on, I'll be right back. Hold on.
Do you need tile installed in your home or business? Then John Robinson Tile, LLC, is the company for you. We have over 60 years of experience installing tile. We do bathrooms, kitchens, and so much more. Give us a call at 803-529-0092. Check out our website at www.johnrobinsontile2.com. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, too. Just search J. Rob Tile or John Robinson Tile. We're licensed and insured and Schluter certified. If you need tile installed, we are your company. We believe in laying hands on everything that we do. That's John Robinson Tile Installation Service for new and old homes. Renovation of kitchens and bathrooms, installs all types. That's John Robinson Tile, the number 2.com.
Beloved, we're talking about kindness, and I was mentioning the kindness of God. We were looking in the Bible at the kindness of God and the thousands of kind things that he does for us. You know, the Bible tells us that he daily loadeth you up with blessings. Why? Because he's kind. One of his attributes, among millions of other wonderful attributes, is that he's kind. Amen? And here, it's being laid out, some of his kindness is being explained to his people, the kind things that he did. And we're in Nehemiah, the 9th chapter, and we're at the 13th verse now, where some of the things that God did is being rehearsed, some of the things he's done for his people. And in the 13th verse, it says, "Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and speakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statute and commandments." God gave them his word, his wisdom, his knowledge, his understanding. Glory to God. He gave all of that to his people that they might be enriched thereby and that they might extract from it wisdom, understanding, and knowledge of him and in his ways and how to prosper in the land. Amen, and how to prosper and treat each other, because he knew they didn't know nothing but Egyptian bondage, and so he had to straighten out their thinking because they had slave mentality. Glory to God. But God took them from slave mentality to being the greatest nation on the earth. Amen. Glory to God. By renewing their mind to his word. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? It says, at verse 14, "And madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant, and gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou swore to give them." God gave his people. Now, notice what he did. He took them out into the desert. Beloved, in the desert, there's no crops. There's no water. There's nothing but bleak sand for as far as the eye can see. Why would you take a million people out into the desert, a place where there's no food or water? Because besides showing them that he was a God that would protect them, that would lead them, he wanted to show them that their steps were ordered of the Lord, that he knew exactly where he was taking them, that he knew exactly what he was doing. And one of the things that he was going to do for them was teach them that he would provide for them. In the wilderness, he wanted to demonstrate to them that he would provide for them. Now, beloved, if he had provided just for one day, a million people provided for them one day, that would have been a miracle right there. But not only did he provide for them for one day, he provided for them for 40 years so that no one can say, "Oh, that was an accident. We got fed just by happenstance." No, no. If you was fed in the desert for 40 years, that's not happenstance. That's supernatural provision. That's favor and supernatural provision. That was one of the first things that he wanted to teach his people, that he wanted them to prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospers. So he showed them. He didn't just tell it. He demonstrated it to them. And not only did he demonstrate it to them, but he had bread from heaven, angels' food. He provided for them in the desert. And then he had water to come out of a rock and flow and quench their thirst so that they would know that God is my provider. God is in control. God will provide for me. Amen. Glory to God. Amongst many lessons that they had to learn, that was one of the greatest lessons, that they were to look for him daily, daily, day by day. He would give them their portion. Amen. He would give them their bread. Glory to God. It says he gave them bread from heaven for their hunger and brought us forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou swearest to give them. Now, it's the same thing in New Testament terms. He took us out of the wilderness of the word, and he fed us manna from heaven and water in the form of Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. And promised us that we would go into the spiritual promised land. And we would feed, glory to God. We would feed on his word, glory to God. And we would be, as we renewed our mind, we'd be changed into new creatures in him. Amen. Glory to God. And we could go into that promised land and possess it, glory to God, and be made in the image of his son. Glory to God. But the physical manifestation was here with his children in the wilderness, glory to God. Verse 16. But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkeneth not to thy commandments. 17, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them. So not only did he do all the things that were recorded, but he did wonders among them so that they would know that he was God. Amen. And that he was in control, and that they were in his hands, and they were mightily provided for and safe under his protection. He did wonders amongst them. And the Bible says, but they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon. It says that when they were out in the wilderness, things were so new to them, the change that they had to go through. They had to throw off the old and come into the new. And those changes that they had to, the lifestyle changes were so great to their mind that they fainted in their mind. And in their vanity, they decided, we want to go back. We want to go back to Egypt. Amen. And there's saints that when they're going through, I've heard them. They've told me. They said, Pastor, I didn't catch all the hell in the world. It didn't seem like I was catching all this hell when I was in the world. When I got saved, all hell broke loose. Now, don't be offended by the word hell because it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible, okay? So I'm not using profanity. Hell is in the Bible. In fact, that's one of the realities the world don't hear enough of, that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll go to hell, which is a holding place. Hell is simply a holding place. And it holds you until great, if you're not saved, it holds you there until great white throne judgment, at which time you appear before God. And the Bible says the books are open, plural, the books are open. And another book, which is the book of life. And you're judged out of those books according to your works. Glory to God. And if your name is not found in the book of life, you get thrown in the lake of fire. Amen. Glory to God. So there is a hell, beloved. Do not believe the Jehovah's Witnesses and others who say there is not a hell. You know why they say that? Because they, when they look at the, when they go in the Bible and they research the word hell, what they find is that the average person don't know what hell means. The average person gets the lake of fire mixed up with hell. And so because they get it mixed up, they say in hell, that's where you get thrown in fire. There's fire down there. You get thrown in the lake of fire. You burn down in hell. And they say that's wrong. Hell is not where the fire is. And so you Christians don't know what you're talking about, you other Christians. But the average guy knows what he's talking about. He's just got them mixed up. Hell is a holding place until judgment day. Then in judgment day, if your name is not written in the book of life, you get thrown in the lake of fire. That's the hell, the lake of, that's the hell that people think about. People who aren't in the Bible, who don't research in the Bible. Amen. They simply get a little bit mixed up a little bit, but they know what they mean. If you don't do right and you found that you're not right on judgment day, you're going to get thrown in the lake of fire. Whether you call it the lake of fire or you call it hell, whatever. The reality is, glory to God, that if your spirit man is not born again, if you haven't asked Jesus to save you, you go into fire. Amen. If your name is not found in the book of life, you go into fire. Amen. Now, whatever you want to call it, glory to God. But you, if you don't know Jesus, that's where you better get saved. You better ask Jesus to save you. Glory to God. You want a Christmas present? Here's your Christmas present. If you're not saved, glory to God, ask Jesus to save you. Glory to God. And so these people in the wilderness, these natural children of God, they refused to obey. They weren't mindful of his wonders that he did among them, but they hardened their necks. And in their rebellion, they appointed a captain to return, it says, to return to their bondage. To return to, how much out of your mind is a person who wants to return to their bondage? But thou art a God, ready to pardon, gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsook them not. Even though they forsook him, he forsook them not. He kept on with them. He kept going with them and kept leading them. And that word kindness there, I looked it up, and it means kindness, favor, mercy, pity. That's the definition of the word kindness in Nehemiah 9:17. He was slow to anger. God was slow to anger and of great kindness, and he forsook them not, even though they rebelled against him and wanted to turn back and to go back into Egypt. Glory to God. They forsook him, but he didn't forsook them. He didn't forsake them. Amen? Glory to God. Why? Because of favor, because of mercy, because of pity. God understands, glory to God. God understands what you're going through. God understands hardness. Amen? Glory to God. And with great kindness, he led them on. He led them on, glory to God. Glory to God. Why? Because God is a good God. God is kind, glory to God. And the Bible says his merciful kindness is great. Amen? The Bible in two other places talks about his great merciful kindness, glory to God. God is merciful to his people, glory to God. That's why when we make a mistake as born-again Christians, we know how to handle mistakes and sin. We know what to do when we sin or make a mistake. We simply repent, and we ask, please forgive us. And he promises in his word that if we come before him and we confess our sins, the Bible says that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And not only does he forgive us, but the Bible says he cleanses us. He then goes on, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Why? So that the devil can't condemn us with it. The devil can't lord it over us. Oh, you said you were a Christian. Look what you did. You really messed up. No, no. Once we confess our sins, the Bible says they're blotted out. And as far as the east is from the west, he so separates us from our sins. He always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. He always gives us the victory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Why? Because of his kindness, because of the favor toward us. Amen? Because he knows us. He knows our frame. Glory to God. We serve a kind God. Amen? We serve a wonderful God. Glory to God. And that's why we win. We win every time. He causes us to win. Because of his kindness, he forgives us and causes us to win. I'm overtime. God bless you. God is a good God. See you next week. Bye-bye now.
I know the Bible is right.
It's The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, coming to you live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Pastor Williams believes if you have a question, the Bible has the answers. Join us Wednesday on the show or at I Am Jesus Holy Ghost Church in Columbia, South Carolina, where service times are Tuesday night prayer at 7 p.m. Sabbath Friday service at 7 p.m. and Saturday Sabbath Day service at 12 noon. Our motto is, it pays to serve God. Hit us up at IamJesusHolyGhostChurch.org. That's Pastor Aaron B. Williams, live on Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Come on and get the Word of God at its highest level.